Number one, tonight we're going to have a topical type message where we'll have a number of verses that we're going to be looking at, and that's why we're going to use the PowerPoint tonight and help you follow along a little bit easier. I had been praying and seeking to see what type of series we're going to get into, and it's not going to be about, at least unless the Lord leads, about our speech and our tongue for the rest of the summertime. I think that we'll have four more weeks to go over something. We'll start something next week. I have two or three things that I'd like to go over for in a series, but we're just going to let the Lord lead. I know He wants us to talk about our tongue and our speech tonight. And that's something that many of us can all work on, something that many of us can learn, young and old, why God gives us a mouth and what we're supposed to do with our mouth. And there's some really great, great thoughts here. The Bible is filled with things. To try to bring it down into one message was a little bit of a challenge, but I let the Lord lead us and guide us. So there's some great scriptures here to help us. In James chapter number 1, verse number 19 is where we're going to just kick off. The Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." So our theme for the year is by faith. And so are we going to believe what the Bible says about speech? You know, there are a lot of things in here in the Word of God that we probably know and we like to teach to other people, but we don't take it in for ourselves. So I think tonight as we go through these things, it's going to kind of be like there's going to be a lot of great verses. And inside these verses, the Lord might speak to your heart about one or another or all of them, but something that we need to guard is our mouth. Because our mouth, once you say something, you can't take it back. You might be able to say you're sorry. You might be able to say hope that they can forgive and forget. But once it's out there, it's there. You ever put your foot in your mouth before? I know I have. Have you ever said something you shouldn't have said? I know I have. And so this is something, the reason why the book of Proverbs is filled with this, the reason why the book of James has so much in it, is because it's an important thing, because your mouth tells a lot about yourself. Because remember, what's inside is what's going to come out of your mouth. Sometimes people say it's the circumstances, it's the problems, but the Bible speaks a lot about how what's in us is what comes out of us. And we're like, well, that's not the way I really feel. Well, it's a telltale sign that when something comes out of our mouth, it's something that's already been in us, and it's really truly what we're fighting against sometimes, but it is something that reveals something about us and reveals something about our character. We always remember that tea bag illustration. It's the hot water that causes what's inside the tea bag to come out. So your circumstances could be the hot water, but it's what's inside you that's coming out. Whatever's coming out of you is not what's inside of you. It's in there. That's why we need to guard our hearts. And that's why the Bible talks about be careful with our mouth, which means if we're right inside, what we're going to say outwardly is going to be protected too. So that first verse, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to the wrath." And how many of us are guilty of not being swift to hear? How many of us have what we want to say, and we know it needs to be said, and we don't want to wait for anybody else? We want to say what we have to say. We're not slow to hear. We're not slow to wrath. We're not willing to consider the whole matter. We just want to make sure our opinions are across. So as we go through this lesson, this message tonight, it speaks to my heart just as much as it probably hopefully is speaking to yours, because my speech is something I always want to be pleasing to the Lord. So there's three points under the first main point is the goals of our speech. The goals of our speech. We're going to try to use our remote tonight, and hey, it worked out the first time. The goals of our speech. And the goals of our speech should be the same thing that's our goal for our life. It's to bring glory and honor to God. What a great verse, Psalms 19:14. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." We're going to learn a lot of things tonight about our speech. You know, some good things, some warnings against it, sometimes when we should stay quiet. We're going to learn about all those things, but the question is God pleased with what I'm saying? What's getting ready to come out of my mouth? You know, they're going to understand, or they're going to have to understand, or they're just going to put up with it. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking to bring honor and glory to God in whatsoever we do, whether it's something great or whether it's something small. We can always be seeking to bring glory and honor to God with our lives. So when it comes to our speech, we say, is the words of my mouth, look what it says, the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. There's the connection again. You know, what the words of my mouth are is going to be what the meditation of my heart is. Let both of them to be acceptable. And sometimes we can try to curtail ourselves, and we can try to look good on the outside, and we can try to look right on the outside, and we can try to do what is best, and everyone thinks that we're super Christian. But if we don't work on the meditations of our heart, you know what's going to happen sooner or later? It's going to come out. When those hot water situations are going to come out, that flavor, the tea, which you truly are inside. And so that's what he's saying here. The psalmist is saying, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, we're surrounded by so many people that have used vulgar language. We're surrounded by so many Christians that are negative and maybe that gossip or do things that they're not supposed to do. That sometimes we think, you know, I'm pretty good at this. Speech is something that we should talk about because it's so important, but I don't really need to worry about that. But my heart's desire tonight is for us to look deep inside and say, is my speech, my words, and the meditations of my heart, are they acceptable to God? Not are they acceptable to my family, not are they acceptable to myself. It is something that I have not learned to read, because we can convince ourselves of a lot of things. We can convince ourselves that when I talk this way, it's not that big of a deal. Or when I tell a little white lie, it's not a big deal. Or they deserve to hear this. They deserve that reaction. No, no, no. That's not what our goals are for our speech. Our goals for our speech is that they be acceptable to God. God, as I say this, I want it to be acceptable to you. As I think about this and as I consider it's my heart, God, I want this to be something that is acceptable to you, something that will bring glory to you. And then there's a couple others here. You know, obviously underneath that umbrella, there's a couple more verses. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech be always with grace, always with unmerited favor, always demonstrating and trying to be graceful to the other, seasoned with salt. And that idea of salt makes you thirsty, meaning that someone's going to want to listen to what you have to say, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. So our goals for our speech is, number one, that we be acceptable in God's sight. Secondly, that we would know how to answer every man, that we would be able to be led by the Holy Spirit of God to be able to say that right thing at the right moment, to be able to offer grace to someone. To make it something that is seasoning to a point that it will cause them to hunger and thirst for more of what you have to offer. And how do you do that? You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Your words and your meditation, they're going to be acceptable in God's sight, and you be led by Holy Spirit of God, because sometimes there is a time where you have to be bold, and sometimes people need to hear boldness, and sometimes people need to hear correction. But many times, it's something that grace and that unmerited favor that we're demonstrating is showing mercy. Jesus was so beautiful at the way he did mercy and truth together, and grace and truth. He knew exactly what to say and what needed to be said at that moment, at that time, because he knew the hearts of man. And what we must understand is that as we rely on God and not our own thinking when it comes to speech, and we have speak by faith, we come to this realization saying, only you know what that person needs. And I need to be led by God to that. So many times we grow up in different circumstances. I had a dad that acted a certain way, and he responded certain ways. And sometimes I respond the same ways, and I'm thinking, you know what? That's the way I got that from my dad. And sometimes my mom would respond certain ways. And you learn character, and you learn behavior. But we can learn behavior from the Word of God. We can understand what the Word of God says, and we can hide that in our heart that we're not going to sin against him. We can let the Word of God change us inwardly so it changes us outwardly. So our goal for speech is to be acceptable to God, but also now how to know how to answer other people. And that's something that we want to do. I mean, that's something I want to do. I want to be a help and blessing to others. And sometimes people come up to you with a question, and sometimes the answer has to be, well, we need to pray about it. We need to look it up. We need to continue to pray. And sometimes that's the grace they need. We see you're going through something difficult. Hey, I will be here with you, and I will pray with you. I don't have the answer for you, but God has the answer. But we'll know how to answer, know how to deal with every situation as we let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us. Another goal for speech, and is similar to the last one, is let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth or out of thy mouth. That's a warning, obviously. Don't let anything corrupt come out of your mouth. That's not the goal we're talking about. It's the second part. But that which is good to the use of edifying. So not only do we want to know how to answer every man, but we want to also learn how to be an encouragement to the believers. We want to edify them. We want to build them up. I tell you, our mouths can be used to tear people down. I've seen it happen. Sometimes people are really good with their tongues, and sometimes people are really good with their mouths. When I was growing up, I used to be sarcastic, and boy, I could put somebody in their place really, really quick. And sometimes I had to be careful not to do that today. But we can use our mouths and our tongues to edify. Now look what it says, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So the goal for our mouths and the goals for what God has put forth in his word, and there's so many more, we're not going to take a long time on these tonight because it's not the main part of the message, but the goals that are there is that they be acceptable to God and we would know how to answer, but that my mouth could minister grace to somebody else, that my speech could actually build somebody up and encourage somebody in biblical ways. And I'm not just talking about flattery, because the Bible talks about flattery, and the Bible talks about that loud voice, someone who raises up to praise you in the morning and warns you about those things, about someone who flatters you all the time. But we can use our speech in order to be a minister of grace unto the hearers. What a wonderful goal. And that'd be a great study, and maybe the Lord will let us get more into those studies of how to accomplish those things. But tonight I want to look a little bit more at the warnings concerning your speech. The warnings. The warnings concerning your speech. Sorry about the black box up there. I thought that they would just go off by itself. So if you see a little black box, I use a new PowerPoint there tonight. But the warnings giving concerning your speech. And here's the byline underneath this. Determining when to speak and when to remain silent. There are times when we really should be quiet. That's just the reality of it is. There are times in our lives that is more godly for us to stay silent. And the Bible talks about those things. And so that's what we're going to focus on. Not when to speak, because most of us don't have that problem except for when it comes to being bold as a soul winner. But most of us don't have any problem with speaking. Our problems are sometimes knowing how to be quiet. And there are some different things here that I think could help us and maybe can encourage us in our walk. Once again, James 1:19 is a reminder there that you have it open in your Bible. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So let's look at some things sometimes when we should remain, when to remain silent. First, when you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You say, Pastor, I'm never ever going to talk again, because that's always a goal, and that's not the point what we're talking about here. We should always desire to be filled, always desire to be led by the Spirit. But I'm talking about in a case, in a situation when someone is coming looking for advice, or you're in a situation that is maybe touchy and you don't really know which way to go. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, it might be better to remain silent than saying something that would give you a bad testimony, or saying something that would commit yourself to something you could not take back. The Bible says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So when to remain silent? When you're not right with the Lord. You think about King Saul. I know many of these things are things you've heard us talk about before. The acrostic at the end, you're going to say, hey, I remember that from years ago. But this is a reminder. King Saul gave David that advice. King Saul wasn't right with God. King Saul should have went out and fought Goliath himself. So when David came up, he says, you can't do that. And David says, I can. And he says, well, here, this is the way you should do it. He gave him bad advice. Why is that? It's because he wasn't right with God. He did not know what to tell David because his heart wasn't right. Stop trying to give advice to people when your heart's not right with God. And you know, pray with them. Seek their faith. Get right with God so you can be a blessing to somebody else. But so hard it is for someone who is able to give good advice when someone else is giving bad advice because their hearts aren't right with the Lord. Remain silent unless you're right with God. This is what I think. Well, that's great. If what you think is led by the Lord, then great, do it. If you're right with God, that's great. But if you're struggling and you're backslidden, they don't really need to hear your opinion. They need to hear somebody that's going to listen from God. Second thing, and this is actually where the sermon began from, and I know it's going to be everybody's favorite, but back on July 26th, this was my this was my memory verse or my meditation verse for that day. The Lord kind of, as I was reading through it, I came to this spot. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belongeth not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. And I thought about that throughout the day. And I thought, man, that's a great verse. You know, it's someone who actually, we need to learn how to remain silent when it's none of our business. And that's odd. You don't hear that very much. Well, you think about the illustration that's there. Someone who is passing by, meddling with strife that does not belong to them, is in a very dangerous spot. Sometimes on visitation, we go out door knocking and we go talk to people, and sometimes there's big dogs. There's a few of us that are not very good with big dogs coming to the door. Thankful for the door being there, and thankful for the door being shut. Thankful for the latch being there, because if that dog could get out and play with us, he would have a good time with us. And sometimes, you know, it's there. And I can only imagine with those big dogs, if you try to grab the back of his head and grab his ears, you're going to be in a bad spot. And even if it's a little dog and you grab a hold of something, once you grab a hold of it, it's still not going to turn out good in the end. And I know the Bible says, blessed be the peacemakers. And I get that sometimes in our lives, God does call us to act as a peacemaker. But that's not what the image is giving here. The image is giving here that you're walking by and you hear somebody else having a strife. You hear somebody else making a complaint, and it's none of your business, but you want to get involved and you want to get mixed up with what they're saying and say, oh, what did you say? And your interest is you're inserting yourself into something that you do not belong to be there. God hasn't called you to be there, and you really need to remain silent. If you see strife going on, maybe you need to go pray about it and just let God take care of it. I went out to lunch yesterday with a missionary, and if there's local missionaries, it's someone we go out. I try to interview them ahead of time, so that way they're not a surprise when they get here. Leah Ackley's brother Jacob McKinney is going to, I think it's Bolivia. We sat for a couple hours and it was kind of interview time, and we were there talking and talked about lots of different things, and somehow it came up about football. You know, I'm not a football fanatic, but somehow it came in the conversation. He mentioned the word Redskins. And I kid you not, there was a lady sitting behind us that turned around and said, did somebody say something about the Deadskins? You know, he was making fun of the Redskins. But it was amazing that this lady, probably in her 60s, more likely her 70s, she was listening to our conversation. We weren't being loud. Our seats are close by, obviously. We weren't being loud. And she turned around and said, she entered into our conversation, which we didn't mind. I mean, but we were careful what we said after that, because I guess everybody could hear it. But she entered into the conversation that she really didn't belong there. Did we mind? No. It gave us a chance as she was leaving. It gave us a chance to give out a gospel tract. She actually lives locally. Hopefully she's not listening to this sermon sometime later. But at the same time, she hasn't been to church for a little while, and I'm hoping she comes. I'm not going to tell you who she is if she shows up. But it's the idea here that she was there and she entered right into that. And it was thankful that, you know, we were Christians and believers and cared about what we were talking about, because if not, somebody could have been really rude to her. And I think everything's a God-ordained encounter or opportunity. And I think I'm thankful to the Lord. But I think we need to be careful, because there are some times when we need to remain silent, and there are some times when people like to meddle with strife. And the picture the Bible gives here is, okay, you're in this now. What are you going to do that's going to turn out good? How am I going to get glory out of this? You put yourself in that situation, where am I going to get the glory out of this? Now, could you ever be led to help? Could you ever, you have two friends that you know and you could help be, that's not what they're talking about there. Because blessed is the peacemakers. But it is referring to somebody, there are sometimes we just need to leave things alone and let God work it out, or let the parent work it out, or let the friends work it out. Many times we like to insert ourselves in people's lives when we really don't have a relationship. Many times we want to try to fix somebody or fix something, but we've never taken the time to show, I love you, I care about you, and when I enter into this conversation, it's because I've been praying for you. Many times it's like, they got a problem, I'm the one God's going to take to fix it, and you never talk to them any other time. Or at least you never show that you care by conversing with them and trying to understand them. Instead, you want to get yourself involved with somebody else's problems. How much more could we do by praying instead of meddling in somebody else's life? How much more could we do by getting on our face before God and saying, God, I know something's going on there. They need your help. And if the Lord leads you, then that's another thing. But this is a verse in the Bible that, you know, sometimes people will be like, eh, I don't really agree with that. It's the Bible. It's right there. And it's the implications that is given there. So be careful with that. So let's look at some more. That one, I know you guys loved that one. That was my favorite. And that's what the Lord spoke to my heart about preparing this message. Remember, another time to remain silent. When you speak before you know the whole matter. Ever been there? You think you know what you're talking about, and then somebody just humbles you because they actually know what they're talking about. If you would just be quiet for a little while, then the person who actually knows what they're talking about can actually tell you the right answer. And sometimes you're like, oop, and you should have stayed quiet. And that's what the Bible says here. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. And that these are dangerous things, because probably all of us have done that before. And there's been times before then when someone has fussed me out about something and I had to say, well, this is the reason why we did that. And they're like, I didn't know that. Well, the question is, don't jump to conclusions before you don't know the whole matter. Man, this is so easy to do, is to jump to conclusions. And you just hear them acting ungodly, responding ungodly with their mouth. They're forgetting the reasons for our speech is acceptable to God. To be able to answer people, to be able to minister grace. Instead, they hear about something, they want to fly off the handle, and then they're like, this is, that makes sense. Before you ever get to that point, oh, that makes sense, you should be, why did you do it that way? Or, you know, reproach them in a godly way, and it would make life so much easier, and God can get glory out of that when we don't respond in a sinful way to where you have to apologize, and you have to get your heart right with God and your heart right with that person. And lots of times, we're not humble enough to admit that we're wrong. We'll be like, I just didn't know it, and then just walk away. Oh, if I would have known that, it would have been fine. That's not what the Bible says here. The Bible says that we need to be careful that we hear an entire matter when it's our business. Because the last verse said, you know, if it's not your business, go ahead and stay out of it. But we need to hear an entire matter because it says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it is folly and shame unto him. Many a times we've heard people say, I just didn't know that. We should make sure we search out a matter, the whole matter, both sides of the story. When I do marriage counseling, sometimes I'd hear individuals' opinions. And sometimes it's one mate that wants to have talked to the pastor, the other mate doesn't want to. And that one mate will say a lot of different things. And I'll say to him, I'm not going to judge until I hear both sides of the story. And if we don't hear both sides of the story, that's fine. We can pray for the things that are going on. But I'm not going to say that I believe you until I can talk to the other person. Because there's always two sides of the story. Make sure you hear the whole matter. So we're building here. You know, we're going and we're trying to be slow to speak, slow to wrath, and we're talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, minding our own business, learning the whole idea about a whole matter. And some people say that's good. The next one is don't be a gossip. Remember to stay silent when you want to gossip. Sometimes you know something about somebody and you know so-and-so will suck that right up and be like, oh yeah, they would love to hear that. We're gonna be friends. They're gonna be able to talk about that for an hour. There's a time when we need to remain silent when we know about something about somebody else. When you are privileged to have information that maybe is sensitive, that someone has entrusted you, or maybe because of positions, or maybe just because of circumstances, you found out things. You got to remember what it says here in Proverbs 26:22. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the uttermost parts of the belly. And that sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt you, is a lie. Because bones can heal. Words sometimes you'll never get rid of. Be very careful. Because when you're tempted to gossip, that's one of those times when we should remain silent. Because they are wounds. And many times they can be untrue because they don't know the whole matter or because it's not their business. And that's the reason why it causes a problem. Let's keep on going. remember to remain silent when you could listen and glean wisdom. Remember to remain silent when you can listen and glean wisdom. This is something that, if I go to a Mr. Wesley or a Mr. Greger or Mr. Cartwright or Mr. Chambers or somebody who's going to fix something for me because I'm not very good at fixing things, it's probably easier for me to just say, it's broken. This is what it's doing, and just be quiet. But lots of times I like to think, well, I did a little research on the internet. Do you think we should do this or do you think we should do that? What I really need to do is just be quiet because they know what they're talking about and they can fix it. And they don't really need my opinion because my opinion is just talking. And once again, they're always kind and generous. Well, most of them are kind and generous. Wesley gives me a hard time sometimes. But the Bible says, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. There are times when we can learn something, but we're never going to learn it until we're willing to stop and listen. There are things that someone could teach you if you would just stop and listen instead of being talking all the time. Because if you're talking all the time, they're not able to accomplish what they need to accomplish. Next time, they're not going to show you anything. Next time, they're going to say, just leave it there, I'll get it. And you're not going to learn anything that way. And when it comes to the Word of God and when it comes to listening, there are so many times that you're standing in the presence of someone who's been through it, who's done it, who has something to offer to the group, has something to offer to you in your life, has something that you can learn from and some gleaning of some wisdom, but there's somebody there that is talking over them and someone who's there who's continue on talking that you don't get the opportunity to learn. And many times that's us that's doing the talking where many times if we're slow to speak, you know what's going to happen? We're going to learn something from somebody. And there are times when we should be the one that's speaking because we have wisdom concerning that, but more often than not, we should remain silent so that way we can hear the words of the wise and we can apply those words of the wise unto our knowledge. We can learn something if we will take time to listen. Let's keep on going. Next one, when to remain silent. When you are angry. You ever said anything that you shouldn't have said when you're angry? I know I've said that before. You said, Pastor, you get angry? Of course, we all get angry at some point in time. It's whether or not it's a natural fleshly reaction. We are tempted to become angry. It's whether or not we dwell upon that, whether or not we react to that, and how we react to that. How many times would we have been better off if we would have just stayed quiet when we were angry? I know they tell you to count to 10 before you do something, and I don't find that in the Bible, but at the same time, there's some wisdom there that you're upset, you're angry, you take a little walk, you think about what needs to be said, and then you say the right thing, because the Bible says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Grievous words stir up anger. So, remember, what's the goal? What's the goal of our speech? To bring glory to God, to be acceptable to God. Now, if the goal is to win the argument, and sometimes it is, if that's the goal, then you know what? Then we're not gonna wait till we're not angry anymore. If the goal is to prove that you're right and the other person's wrong, then that's not gonna always be that we're gonna let God work in our hearts before we respond. If the goal is to show you're right, and many times you're not gonna wait till you're not angry. If the goal is to be pleasing to God, knowing how to answer a person, and ministering grace to somebody, then you're going to learn to remain silent when you're angry. You're going to take the time, whether at work, whether it's at home, whether it's at church, whatever it is, you're going to remain silent when you're angry. We only have a few more here. Remain silent when you haven't taken time to listen. And some of these times, they overlap a little bit. You could say, well, that's the same time about listening and gleaning wisdom. I think it's a little bit different. Look what it says here. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his word? There is more hope of a fool than of him. A person who is hasty to come to an answer without hearing the whole matter is someone who is foolish. We should take time to listen. Remember, learn the whole thing. Be able to listen and glean wisdom. Seek God. Learn from God. Don't be quick to respond. It says there's more hope for a fool than a person who's going to respond in a hasty manner. There's more hope than a person that does not have understanding than a person who's just going to respond and react just like that and is hasty with their words. Remember, our goal is to please the Lord. Our goal is to know how to answer people and administer grace. But it's saying that we need to make sure that we've taken time to listen to the whole counsel, to the whole matter. Next thing is when you don't have anything helpful to say, another time to remain silent. If you don't know what to say, sometimes when someone comes up to you, they're desiring that you would just be a friend to them. They want you to listen. They want you to pray. And if you have wisdom from the Lord because you've gone through it or God's given you something in his word that you can show them, they would love that. But many times they just want someone who's going to listen to them. Many times they want someone who's going to pray with them. Many times they want someone who's just going to be there with them. And as you go on, you carry their burdens through prayer, and the Lord can reveal things unto you that will cause you to be a blessing and a help to them. But if we don't have anything helpful to say, you know what we should do? Remain silent. There's been more, probably this is something I get more trouble with, is when I think I'm trying to sound intelligent or trying to be helpful, when the answer is just to listen and to pray. I remember one lady specifically saying to me, she says, "I didn't tell you this to get an answer. If you have an answer, I'll take it, but don't try to come up with an answer. I just wanted you to listen. I wanted you to be aware. And as the Lord leads and directs that, I want you to understand." And so that helped me that day. Because as a pastor, especially as a younger pastor years ago, I thought everybody wanted an answer. They don't want to hear from me. They want to hear from God. And that's what we got to desire. If you don't have something helpful to say, it's a good time to remain silent. So here's that acrostic that I know that I've mentioned to you before, and we're just going to go over it real quick. Is it true? The T stands for is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? And I've given you verses that go through those letters, but we're not going to do that tonight. I just want you to ask yourself those questions. When you're getting ready to speak and you don't know whether or not it needs to be said, first of all, is it true? If it's not true, then it doesn't need to be said. Is it being helpful? Is by me saying this going to help the person that's hearing it, or me by saying it? Or is it going to be something they can pass along? Because if it's not helpful, then why does it need to be said? Is it inspiring? Is it going to inspire someone to want to live for God, to do something that's right, or do something that's helpful? Is it necessary? Just because you have a friend or you have an open mic or an open floor or the opportunity to say something, is it necessary that you say it? And that last one, is it kind? The Bible tells us, be kind one to another. Tenderhearted. So our speech really defines us. It really does. Many times people will remember us most by the words we say and by our personalities. We were talking with the young, I was talking to my wife earlier about an upcoming teen activity, and we picked characters to do something in this activity, and we talked about the different personalities and how the character matched the personalities sometimes and things like that, and we chose not to match up the personalities this time with the people, but it's something, they're remembered by their speech. They're remembered by, you know, yeah, they say these things or they do these things and they act this way. We're many times remembered by how we talk. Many of us are not shedding a very good light on who God is, who our Savior is, because our speech is not representing him. When we speak, we should be speaking as God would want us to speak, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, speaking as God would speak in some ways. We're not God. We're never going to get to be God. That's a whole different false religion. But we can speak as the Lord would be pleased with. Our meditations and our words can be acceptable. We can learn how to know how to answer every man. Where'd you get that answer from? God. And you can learn to minister with your words to be ministers of grace. And people are going to say, that person is filled with grace. That person speaks with grace. That person's speech edifies me and encourages me. It lifts me up. Even at times when I need to be reminded of something I really probably don't want to hear about, there's still a way that you can be edified in that way and brought and encouraged and lifted up because, hey, I needed to hear that. How do you know that you needed to hear that? It's because God spoke that person to tell them about that. Does God work that way? He sure does. There's been more than once when someone, God's used somebody in my life to encourage me to do what's right, but also to remind me about being careful about doing something that's wrong. Tonight, do you really want to live by faith? Do you want to live by faith with your speech? These are the goals. Be pleasing to the Lord with your speech. Learn how to answer every man by being spirit-filled and learning by your answers to be a minister of the grace of God. Times that you should be quiet when you're not right with it, when you're not spirit-filled, when it's none of your business. And you continue on, you know, when we haven't heard the whole matter, when we want to gossip, when we're angry, when we could learn something if we were quiet. You know, there's other, I think it was 8 different things there. Ask yourself, is it true? Is it something that is kind? Is it something that is helpful? Is it something that's inspiring? Is it something that's necessary? Nothing wrong with remaining silent. Even a foolish man is known, not known to be foolish when he stays quiet. It's when he opens his mouth is when you know he's really, truly foolish. Remember that. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.